KP.
KPC.
News.
Information.
Culture.
KPCC.
California Sensibility.
Hey, I'm Amy Choi.
And I'm Rebecca Lair, and we are the Mashup Americans.
So, Rebecca, it's almost Valentine's Day, and I am super excited about today's show. But we should tell everyone that coming up, we have a Mashup Oscars special.
Oh, yeah, because Oscar's not so mashy. Oscar's
not
so white.
Not so mashy.
No. Well, we're going to talk about the best mashup movies of all time, Hello, La Bamba, which you could probably watch instead of the Oscars.
Well, I'm obviously going to rewatch all of them because I love them all. And then in March, we have a guest that can get away with using just one name.
Padma.
Padma. She's Indian. She's American. She's a cookbook author. She's a TV star. She's an actress. She's a model. She's a mom.
And she just wrote this beautiful book about love.
Padma and love. Well, so speaking of love, let's talk about Valentine's Day. Rebecca, what do you do on February 14th?
I usually eat a box of chocolates at home. What do you do?
Just at home by yourself?
No, with Neil. I do it there with Neil.
Well, Gabe and I, we usually ditch our kids for the day and do things we did when we were dating and young, like eat dinner out in Bushwick.
That is definitely for the young, so I'm really glad you get to relive that. That's awesome. We love love, and one of our favorite games is finding out what dating advice our friends got from their immigrant parents. So number one is usually none. Because no one ever talked about dating. Like, it's not even a vocabulary word.
What about sex?
No, don't even say it.
Okay, I'm not going to say it. Wait, but I did get one piece of advice, which was that I should marry a Chinese man because Chinese men cook.
Yes. Well, my husband's not Chinese, but he can totally cook. So I see the logic as to why that would be a really important thing.
It would be actually really hilarious if we discovered that Neil was Chinese.
Well, we did our 23andMe's, obviously, and no.
No, that's not it. All right, well, I am dying to hear what kind of dating advice our next guest star has for us. She's a Korean-Chinese-American rapper and comedian from New York, and she is in the new movie Neighbors 2 with Seth Rogen and Zac Efron. And she's got her own show on MTV. She is Nora Lum, also known as Awkwafina.
And we're also going to talk to her grandma, who was married for 58 years, and ask some, you know, really big love and relationship questions. Because, obviously, grandmas give better advice than moms, right?
Well, especially Grandma Lum. So onward to Awkwafina Land.
Yes.
Killer queen loving. You with that bitch look like cool best cousin. Block hugging, yeah. Bitches like in danger. Saber-tooth tiger, I'm a motherfucking yellow ranger. Yeah, and Awkwafina just a ratchet hoe. Instagram and kitty topping swagger.
Girl, welcome back to Mashup.
Hey.
So, Nora Lum, we have so many questions for you, but I think the very first one is, how do you mash up?
I guess I mash up in a lot of different ways. I'm Korean-Chinese, which is a very odd mix. Like, I think that Asian people understand that it's more odd than, like, other non-Asian people, you know? Because the two typically don't get along. And I guess I also mash up in, like, the way that I'm kind of portrayed as an overachiever in some ways and then an underachiever in a lot of other ways.
Wait, so where are you an overachiever and where are you an underachiever?
So I think that, like, I think that, like, I've been thinking a lot about, like, what my mom, who passed away when I was young, would, like, if she would approve of my career, and probably not, you know?
What?
Yeah, so, I mean, but then, you know, at the same time, like, a lot of, like, ridiculous things have happened to me, you know? So I never really felt confident in, like, the academic sense, you know, like, as to be a doctor, a lawyer, go to grad school, like, so then in the other sense, it's like, I could make music in my bedroom and put it on YouTube, you know? So there's that dichotomy of that, you know.
Right. Well, so you're not a doctor, you're not a lawyer, but you did just wrap two movies.
Yeah.
You're working on an album, and you just sold your own talk show, and you're on another one on MTV. So let's talk a little bit about the awesome ways in which you're an overachiever.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't call that overachieving. I really in context of an underachiever, you know. So whatever. Yeah.
So what are these movies?
So the first one was Neighbors 2, which is the sequel to the first Neighbors.
With Zac Efron.
Definitely was Zac Efron in that movie, and he's amazing.
What happened? Were you, like, magnetized by his abs? Did you take a shirt off?
I think, like, it's like, you know when a hot girl with, like, huge boobs, like, you know, just be, like, a hot girl walks by,
mm-hmm.
and men can't help but, like, look. Like, it's just a natural thing. Whenever Zac Efron would walk by, it just, every woman in the room would just, like, kind of a lingering dead eye stare, you know, at his nipples. So, like, it was, yeah, I mean, he's very good looking. So, yeah. And he's also very nice.
Did you ever think you were going to be an actor?
I definitely was obsessed with film my entire life. Like, you know, and I also just got thrown into it. Like, I didn't take classes. I barely went on auditions. So I had a moment where it was like 3 a.m. on the set of Neighbors. And I was in a room with Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne and Zac Efron. And I just had a moment where I was like, am I here right now? Because, you know, it just kind of happened, you know? Right.
On the heels of Oscars So White, so we've been, you know, thinking a lot about this, and Amy and I have been thinking about when have we felt really represented on screen and on different things, and it was really hard to think of a time where there's a cool Asian American woman in movies that we like, that's not stereotyped. So you're getting to be in these two movies. How did you feel about the way you were portrayed or the roles that were created?
You know, I'm not going to be put in a movie unless I'm playing some... like me, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna be, you know, in Memoirs of a Geisha 2, you know, like as Pumpkin. And my two acting jobs thus far, I haven't been asked to put on an Asian accent. I'm literally me, and I think like that is awesome because you know I play like a regular college kid, you know, and a lot of the Asian girls I've seen in college movies, high school movies, Mean Girls or Pitch Perfect or whatever, they're all, I mean, Mean Girls was kind of accurate, but in Pitch Perfect, the girl was like, you know, really into studying. She was a bitch. She only hung out with Asians, you know, so even American Asian people aren't portrayed well.
Right.
If they're not like doing straight up yellow face, you know?
Right. I love that you're saying that Mean Girls was kind of accurate, like the bitchy Chinese girl stable.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, still, like, you don't, I mean, but like that was kind of accurate.
I think it's interesting that, you know, you have this incredible perspective, you have all these fans, you had this, like, you know, mashy upbringing, and you grew up in what we like to consider, like, the UN, Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that shaped your worldview? Like, how did that influence your music or how you look at the world?
Well, I think that in the Queens is a mixture of the kind of like gritty city life that I experienced more when I went to high school in the city. But Queens also has a really suburban element. Like, you do feel like you're far away when you're in my neighborhood at Forest Hills. And then in my neighborhood, it's a complete melting pot, you know? All like Indian kids, like kids from Pakistan, black, Hispanic, like every race. But I think white people were definitely the minority. And I grew up in also a very heavily Jewish area. So I didn't know that white people couldn't not be Jewish.
I feel you, girl.
When I was, I found out that people, well, it was crazy.
Wait, tell us about when you found out that white people weren't all Jewish.
I was old. I was probably like 10 or 11. And I met this blonde girl. And I remember asking her, like, something about, like, so you go to temple? I just, like, asked her, like, because I was so used to it. And she was like, I'm not Jewish. She was really offended. And I was like, that's not even that bad, you know? That's not, like, I'm not, what am I calling you, you know?
Well, so you've totally carved out, like you said, like, these filmmakers created a role for you to be you, like, your persona to be Awkwafina. And you basically did that in hip-hop. So, you know, tell us a little bit about what it was like to, you know, find your way in rap as a young Asian woman.
Well, I think, like, when I came out back in, like, late 2012, early 2013, like, the rap game, the hip-hop game, the internet game was dramatically different than just 3 years, like now, you know? I think that people, I got asked a lot, like, what's the struggle like for you? Like, what's your struggle as, like, an Asian woman, you know? And the truth is, I stood out. You know what I mean? So I've met so many rappers along the way that are doing similar things, but they didn't stand out. So I think that, like, being Asian worked for my benefit because when they saw me on a YouTube video, just the cover picture of a YouTube video, they're gonna click it. You're gonna click it no matter what,
right,
if you like the music or not. because you never see that, you know, especially, I mean, you see like the kind of like the sluttier, like, you know, the pop, the K-pop, you know, like the mannequins, like that kind of like singing mannequins with auto-tune. You have that, but you don't have like a frumpy, you know.
Did you just call yourself frumpy?
Yeah, I'm frumpy. I look so good. No. Okay.
Who do you like to listen to in the mashup hip hop world? Who are some of your favorite artists?
It's kind of sad because I stopped like consuming music like I did back in high school, you know, mostly because I don't have LimeWire anymore. But just kidding. I pay for all my music. I'm just kidding. There's songs that just, you know, I like Neil Young, I like Fleetwood Mac, like I love Neil Young, you know, that's music that like speaks to me.
Yeah.
And then there's like turn up music, and then because I produce so much, I'll listen to songs just for like beat references, you know, like I have no engagement toward them. It doesn't like speak to my soul.
Right.
A lot of hip hop nowadays, like, it's like, what, you know, now, you know, what are bands? You know what I mean? Everyone's always throwing bands. I don't even know what that is.
What is it?
I think it's the rubber band around a lot of money, which actually is an Asian thing as well. There's always that older Asian guy that rolls through with.
Girl, I think you're talking about my dad.
Yeah, I know.
Well, speaking of dads, is that where your love of Fleetwood Mac and Neil Young come from? Because I know your dad, like, he's first generation, right?
Or yeah. He came here when he was like a kid, a baby, yeah.
And how did his musical taste or his love of music affect you?
I mean, my dad is weird. Like he'll always roll up in the car with some mix. And lately, he rolled up with Daft Punk, the CD of Daft Punk. And he was kind of acting like Daft Punk didn't exist before 25. He was like, found this great band, man. They're great. I got the live rendition. It's great. And I was like, you know that Daft Punk is like from the 50s, right? Like, Daft Punk has been around forever. And then he'll roll up with like techno remixes of like Adele, Hello. But then he'll also listen to Rush like really loud. Nah. Him, he's embarrassing.
I love all of that.
He loves Bonnie Raitt.
Who doesn't love Bonnie Raitt?
I don't.
Your heart has never been properly broken.
She's overrated.
We're talking about Valentine's Day. It's coming up.
Oh, no.
I believe you have a boo.
Yes.
You do have a boo. But before we talk about your current boo, we're going to talk about your old boo.
Okay.
Because you posted a hilarious tweet about it. And Rebecca is going to read it for us right now.
Okay, in a Cockney accent, Rebecca.
My last ex married.
No, you don't have to. I'm kidding. Regular.
My last ex married and had a kid with a girl he met 1 week before we broke up. What did I do? I became Awkwafina. Sometimes breakups are dope.
Yep. That's it.
That is it.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, that breakup, saved my life, I think. I was in college, and I met a guy who kind of embodied the settled-in Williamsburg mystique, like going to brunch, cooking, that kind of thing. And I was in college, so it's like, this is what I want. This is what I want when I graduate. And he was, like, 31, 32. He worked in, like, film. There was a moment where I remember this so vividly. We were sitting on the couch, like, arguing, because I never really knew what I wanted to do. And I was 22, 23 at the time, and I was like, when I'm 25, I'm going to be something. Like, I told him that. And then he kind of, like, defensively said, when you're 25, your life will be exactly the same. So I knew, like, when he said that to me, after we broke up and then after all this stuff happened, I always think about that moment.
He was a dick.
He was a dick, yeah.
Both Amy and I made the most disgusted faces at the same time.
I know. He's terrible.
When you were 25.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so that was your jerky ex.
Yeah.
And we learned lessons from him.
Yeah. I mean, for all the 22-year-olds out there, don't date a 30-year-old because they'll never take you seriously, so...
So, new guy, much better. You're much happier.
Yeah. This one's like an actual relationship.
You're in a mashup relationship now, right?
Yep. Yeah. His grandma's a pretty OG. Like, his great-grandpa is Irving Berlin. So
whoa!
His grandma, yeah. So, his grandma, who's the one of the most amazing women I've ever met, is pretty much like the neck of the family, Irving Berlin's oldest daughter. And she, you know, she was all over the place. So I think he's used to dealing with like women that, you know, strong women in the spotlight. You know, he's used to that.
Well, that is amazing. And let's talk about grandmas. Speaking yeah. of grandmas, strong women in the spotlight, your grandma is amazing.
Yeah, my grandma's great.
So
yeah.
did she raise you?
She did, yeah. She did.
And where is she now?
She lives in Great Neck now.
So she's an old Chinese lady living in Great Neck.
Yeah, her whole block is full of old Chinese ladies that look just like her. There's like a little Chinese lady squad that like rolls up to the bus stop to pick up all the grandkids, you know?
That's amazing.
It's so cute.
It's one block away from the old Jewish lady squad down the block in Great Neck.
Yeah, they don't get along. Yeah.
No.
Although they love Mahjong. They both love Mahjong.
We were just discussing this.
I was just watching. Yeah, we did that. There's a clip from the Joy Luck Club where it's these old Chinese ladies talking about how bad Jewish Mahjong is. And if you play Jewish Mahjong with no strategy... or no, Chinese mahjong with no strategy.
Yeah.
Then it's Jewish mahjong.
Dude, my grandpa had a gambling problem and would one time brought me to a closed laundromat in New Jersey, and I slept over there, and he played. Like, I went there at like 10 p.m. We slept there, and I slept there, and he was playing mahjong with his friends in the back of a laundromat. That was a haunting memory.
That is so perfectly... That's Smash Up America.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's how we were raised.
Well, that's just like messed up America. It's like, Grandpa, why you gotta take me to your illegal gambling ring? I'm 7.
Did you learn anything?
No.
All right, but I want to learn something from your grandma.
Okay.
Should we call her?
Yeah, let's call her.
Let's do this. We asked our Mashup Familia, our fans on Facebook, you know, some people, fans of yours, if there were anything that, any questions, any life advice that they want to ask.
Okay, great.
Let's see. Do we call her grandma or Mrs. Love?
Hello?
Hi, Grandma.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, Grandma. This is Amy from Mashup Americans.
You're on the radio right now, Grandma.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Mrs. Lum. This is Rebecca.
Oh, yeah. Rebecca's here, too. There are 3 people here, Grandma.
Oh, okay.
Grandma, we're gonna ask you questions about love, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Ready?
Ready.
Lauren Young asks, what is the best way to mend a broken heart?
What's the best way to mend a broken heart?
No, to fix a broken heart, to get over a broken heart.
Oh, find a new love.
That's excellent advice.
Totally.
I feel like that's easier said than done, Grandma. what is the best advice your mother gave you? Taipa.
My mother gave to me?
Yeah.
My mother gave to me is the Asian stuff. It's not American style.
We want to know.
Oh. Be a nice wife. Oh, be a nice mother. Mm. Be a nice grandmother.
No.
Be a nice daughter-in-law.
Do you think that Nora's going to be a good wife to her husband and a good mother to her kids?
She's still like a child.
I know.
She's not very mature for that one, that size.
Grandma, that's not true. I can make Annie's mac and cheese. You know that.
That's all you know how to make.
I know. Yeah, I'm pregnant, Grandma.
Get out of here.
I'm going to name her Areola. Grandma, do you remember when Grandpa took me to the Mahjong ring, his Mahjong gambling ring in the laundromat?
No, that's not gambling. That's when a friend get together, go there. Nobody wanted them to do it at home because they don't want the children to learn.
Yeah,
so they have to go to where business to do it.
Right, right.
That's not gambling, right?
Oh, okay. Mega asks, what's the most important ingredient for a long-lasting and happy marriage?
Understanding each other, give in sometimes, and caring about everything. Don't always ask the husband make too much money, not greedy. That's how I married to Grandpa,
Grandma,
for 58 years.
Do you miss Grandpa?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Was he a good husband?
Yeah, he is.
All right.
We are a very old-fashioned couple.
Yeah.
We always worry about the children's education, the granddaughter, grandchildren's things. That's like a regular grandpa, not like American people.
No, why? What do American people do?
Well, when the children grow up, they don't care about it anymore. Let them go, whatever it is. And they only care about themselves, enjoying, go vacation. Not Chinese grandparents and parents.
Yeah, because 8 good Chinese grandparents move in with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they help you take care of the children as much as cook for you. You don't have to hire a nanny. You don't have to do, you know, like after work, you have to cook, everything.
Yeah, true.
Easier for the young people.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Sonora, you should have a baby so your grandma can move in with
you. I know. Yeah, Grandma, we should go in on a. We should go get an apartment in Bushwick together.
All right, I don't mind.
Yeah, that'll be good.
All right, well, I thank you so much, Grandma. This was really great. I think we got a lot of really good advice that people will appreciate.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Grandma.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye, bye.
Bye.
Oh my God, your grandma is the best.
She's adorable.
What's a your Bubba Misa, which is a grandmother's tale, something she always told you that's kind of outlandish.
Okay. She told me about the time she witnessed a beheading right before Mao came in, and how when the head is severed from the body, there's still nerves in the head. So the tongue still moves and the mouth opens and closes after the behead, the dude.
Are we sure that that's not true?
My grandma would tell me these stories when I was like 5, by the way. She used to work as a nurse in China also before Mao. And there were these coal miners that would come in that would have been crushed to death. So they would come in completely, like they're completely black from coal. And then one day she working the night morgue shift, and the flattened coal body farted. And she said that she had never been so scared in her life. This is what I mean. This darkest. It's like, Grandma, tell me a fun story. You know?
So. Chinese grandmas are for real.
Yeah, they don't hold back.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, they seen some shit. That's why. They seen some shit. She knows how to work, like, an interview, though. Because she knows, like, what to say and what not to say. It's like, you know, that, like, Chinese restaurant hostess comes out. And she's like, hello, welcome. But then in real life, she's like, I like Trump, you know? She literally told me that the other day.
No.
What does she like about Donald Trump?
What everyone says about him is that he speaks his mind, which means that you're racist. So I was yelling at her, and I was like, you cannot tell people that you like Trump, even if you do, because it makes you look like a racist. So.
Well, you know, something that we discovered, particularly in matters of the heart, is that all of our parents and grandparents are racist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the kinds of advice that we got from them, the love advice in particular, were things like, you can only date so-and-so person, or, you know, never date a white man because they can't dance.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe there was a hierarchy of races in which you could marry.
Yeah.
There was a, you know.
Oh, yeah. My grandma's incredibly racist, but to, like, everybody who's not Northern Chinese. You know what I mean?
Obviously.
Like, she's racist against, like, people from Xinjiang. You know what I mean? Which is just the next province over, so...
And how did she feel about your dad marrying a Korean woman?
I mean, my grandma was very cool with that. Like, I think that she's always been cool with, like, my boyfriends, you know, my other raced boyfriends. And actually, all of her children married Spanish women.
Whoa.
Except for, my uncle married an El Salvadorian woman. My aunt married a Dominican man. And then my other aunt married, like, a white guy from Wisconsin who was in, like, the Marines. And then my dad married the Korean. So all of my cousins are actually, like, half. So I'm the only Asian-looking one out of my cousins, but I'm still not full Asian, you know?
Does that make you her favorite?
I think it does. I really would hate for my cousins to listen to this right now. My youngest cousin, Riley, who is adorable, she's, like, 8 now, when she was born, my grandma was looking at her through the glass and went, she look Chinese. I like, she just muttered it to herself, but it was because she was born severely jaundiced, which gave her, first of all, swollen eyes and incredibly yellow, a yellow hue. So once she got over the jaundice, she immediately did not look Chinese. But I remember that moment. It was like I was like standing with Squidward, and she was like, she's Asian. She finally an Asian one. So my grandma definitely is racist, but it's fine. She loves me.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Nora. This was awesome.
Yeah,
and
was fun.
Thank you to Mrs. Lum, world's greatest advice giver.
Cool.
Awkwafina is a rapper, actress, and talk show host extraordinaire. You can find her on Twitter at Awkwafina, AWKWAFINA.
I love Grandma Lum.
Oh, who doesn't? Nothing like life advice from people who have actually lived it.
Happy Love Days, mashups. We hope they are full of kimchi and chocolates.
Maybe not too much kimchi, because that might impede the making out, but a little kimchi.
Okay, just a little.
Just a little. The Mashup Americans are me, Amy Choi.
And me, Rebecca Lair. If you want some more dating advice from our immigrant parents, check it out at mashupamericans.com. Our show is edited by Robert Garova and produced by American Public Media and Southern California Public Radio, KPCC.
We're also supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts on the web at arts.gov. Besos.
Ciao.